Good morning, everyone. It's a delight to be here at Tammany Oaks. And on Thanksgiving weekend, I got in a little trouble from that, but it was okay. You know, Louise was quite all right with it in the end because she said, well, you're going to Taylor's church. And I believe there we go. Speak of the devil or speak of the son. He has really thrived. The Marines are a good fit for him, and he's good for the Marines. He has wound up becoming a leader, even being the Marine of the Quarter. I try to say, or I often say, he is becoming the most Marine of all Marines. And that's all the good things for the Marines anyway. You know, that story that we just saw from The Chosen, it's definitely one of my favorite ones. I've been pondering lately because I'm facing some things with Livingstone University that are very daunting, a little bit overwhelming, in fact. And they're mostly money related. And I'm facing this maybe question or this opportunity, we could say, of really looking into what does it mean to believe? What does it mean to really pray in faith? There's a journey of faith that we're actually all on, from wishing to believing. If you can look at that as a journey or a spectrum, I think we could ask every human on the face of the planet, and 99.9% of them would say, I wish to live. I don't wish to die. 99.9% of them, if they were offered eternal life, would say, yes, I wish for that. But do they believe in it? Do they have faith in the God that can provide for that? What's that difference then between that wishing and that journeying to belief, that journey to faith? It's a long journey, actually. I would challenge us this morning to check our level of faith, to check our level of belief. We watched this woman, a retelling of this great story. She had bled for 12 years. We men cannot imagine. If we say, yeah, I know how you feel, go ahead, you wives are able to slap them. Just go ahead and slap them. Because they do not know how you feel. We cannot imagine what it would be like to have that problem for 12 long years. To truly be at the end of what life provided for you. To truly be at that last stage. I would just rather die. That is where I believe she was at. Yet she hears about Jesus. She begins to hope. She obviously has wished for 12 years that this would stop, right? She has longed for it. She has yearned for it. She has sought cures everywhere she could. She has spent every penny she's had on trying to get well. And she has not gotten well. She hears about Jesus. She begins to yearn. And then thinks, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. But how can she get close to Jesus? How can she get close to this high and holy prophet? How can she get close to a teacher of the law, which Jesus was? He was a rabbi. How can she get close to a rabbi? Jewish law prohibited her from getting within several yards of anyone. And even in that condition, having to cry out that she was unclean, having to wear special clothes It said she could not touch anyone, or she would make them also unclean. Yet, her belief drove her forward, and she reached out, and she went into the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. I was listening to an audiobook the other day about the Rabbi Jesus, and the hem had these tassels hanging around it. And that was considered the most holy part of every of the clothing for a rabbi, were those tassels. And that she was reaching for that most holy part of Jesus' robe with belief that if she just made contact with it physically, she would be made well. And she was made well. Jesus stops. Can you imagine the scene? Because he's going with Jairus. Jairus also is yearning for the master's touch on his daughter. And he's believing that Jesus will do it. He's believing that Jesus can heal his daughter. Yet he has also come with great cost counted. He was going to lose. He risked losing his position of authority as leader of the synagogue. And all those Pharisees that are working in that synagogue, teaching in that synagogue, all those other rabbis that are competing against Jesus and jealous of Jesus, they find out he went to Jesus for healing, he's going to lose everything. Yet he too was willing to risk it all. Like the woman. The woman's healed, Jesus stops, and what does he say to her? It is your belief that has healed you. That should call for us to pause right there. In John 5:24, it says, if you believe in the Son of Man, if you believe, you've crossed over from death to life. Even John 3:16, what we quote often and often see in sports arenas, believing in the Son of God will never perish. This is it. This is the crux of the matter. We ask ourselves even this morning, do I live a life of faith? Do I live a life of that kind of belief where I'd be willing to risk everything just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? Why are we willing to risk everything just for that contact for Jesus to have with me and bring me into that better state? What did he say to Jairus? They've paused for this moment. Jesus stops in the crowd, and Jairus, you can just imagine, he's like, hurry, hey, please, don't forget about me. Don't stop. Let's get to the house. And what does he say to Jairus? Don't be afraid. Just believe. There's something here. We've heard about this all our lives. Yet there's something here that should still call for us to stretch. Where is my faith? Where is my level of belief in Jesus that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? That through him, I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. That through him, I am accepted. The biggest dilemma that men and women face right now is a lack of belief that they are worthy. Yet here God is telling them, you are worthy. You're so worthy. I died for you. Believe and see that you are now my child. Accepted, loved, cherished. I rejoice over you with singing. God looks at you and says, well done. What is it that moves us to that being well received as well done? It is our belief. So where is our belief now? Are we stretching? Are we growing? These stories stretch me. LIU has stretched me as well. When I first came on board last July to be the executive director of Living Sun University, can you imagine donations were down by 20%, actually a little more, and they wanted me to raise 40% more for the budget. So that's a 60% turnaround in the first year. I said, wow, that's a lot. As a business consultant, if I helped a business be able to reach a 60% turnaround in the first year I was consulting with them, I'd retire and write books about it, right? Yeah, everybody would want to know the formula. What was the formula? Because at the end of July, this past year, we had exceeded the expectations by 8%. So it wasn't just a 60% turnaround, it was a 68% turnaround. God exceeded even my prayers, even my expectations. He had done it. I just prayed for it. I went and I talked to people like yourselves and asked them to step up and help support this university because I do believe that it's God's will. I do believe that it glorifies God. I do believe that God is doing something in Africa right now as it becomes the center of Christendom in the world that I believe churches need to be a part of so we can take part in what God is doing. And I believe that you have stepped into that in faith that it will glorify God as well. And I celebrate that. But it was a stretch for me. And this year is an even greater stretch. As the committee looked at me and said, hey, we need to raise $3 million for the administration building. And then they looked at me and said, hey, let's raise the budget by another 40% again this year. I'm like, okay. Because that's something I know that only God could do that, right? Only God could do that. Even right now, as I'm praying for those numbers, what's my struggle? My struggle is to believe. I keep trying to wonder, well, how are you going to do it, God? What will you actually do? Who are those people who are going to actually give all that money? Because now we're facing a budget of $1 million this year. Now we're facing a $3 million raise so we can get this administration building built. All these things are necessary. All these things are great investments in God's kingdom. I firmly believe that, but I struggle to believe that He will do it. I'm just being honest right now. I wish for Him to do it. I want for Him to do it. I yearn for Him to do it. And I even want to believe that He will do it. But I struggle as I pray to really pray in faith that He will do this. I find myself being like the father of the demon-possessed son. Do you remember what Jesus said to him? Everything is possible for those who believe. And he said, I believe, help my unbelief. That's where I find myself. I believe, help my unbelief. I'm challenged to pray. As Jesus says in John 14, verses 12 and 13, where it says, most certainly I tell you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And he will do greater works than these. What? Are you kidding? He will do greater works than these because I am going to my Father. And whatever you will ask in my name, I will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen? That's challenging. That through prayers that I myself pray, that through prayers that you yourselves pray, and even pray collectively as a church, because He said in Matthew 18, where two or three of you are gathered in my name, and you ask, I will do it. There's the challenge. You know, he says in Luke 18, when he's talking about the woman, the widow, and the unjust judge in that story. Can you imagine? She's knocking on that judge's door in the morning when he gets up to go to the judgment seat. She's following him through town. Rescue me from my enemy. Give me justice. Help me. I'm desperate. You're my only hope. She follows him through town. He breaks for lunch. She follows him there to the market. He goes back to work. She follows him back to work. She follows him back home. And he says, I give up. Because in that moment he says, I fear neither God nor man, but because she just keeps bothering me, I'm going to do what she asks. Are we willing to pray like that? Are we willing to believe like that? Jesus poses a great question at the end of that story. He says, so when the Son of Man returns, will he find what on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? There's this work of prayer that I don't think we've even scratched the surface of in the family of God. This work of real faith, really asking God in belief, it is His will. Even in Philippians 4, when Paul is commanding us or challenging us to pray, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything and with thanksgiving. So there's that point of believing God's going to do it to the point where even though it's not yet transpired, where you're thanking Him for it in advance. That's the prayer of faith I want to pray. Right there. I asked Him for it 2 years ago. He still hadn't done it, but every day I'm thanking Him in advance for doing it. That's prayer prayed in faith. That's prayer of a believing person. So now I'm trying to pray in faith that God will provide for LIU. Whatever part you want to keep taking in that, I invite you to take in that. And if you got a few million laying around right now, please do give it. In the name of Jesus, give it. Because I need it. And LIU needs it and will benefit from it. He loves LIU. And LIU glorifies Him. And I praise God so much for the way that you've partnered with me in this last year. So now I've shared with you these things, and you can pray alongside me that God will raise that more than $1 million this year for operations and that $3 million for the admin building. Out of LIU comes many great stories of transformation, incredible stories. I want to share with you one, the one of Rahema and how she encountered Jehovah Jireh. Rahema grew up in an Islamic family, mother and father both, multiple generations of Muslims in that family. She went to a Muslim school, yet in that school, see, often what we don't realize is that Muslim people, people of Islamic faith, read the Bible often, and they even study it so that they can refute Christians. When they come to them. So they look for inconsistencies. They look for things that are just too impossible to believe. And then challenge those Christians when they try to share their faith. So they're ready. They've got that good defensive position. Somehow, in Rahima's journey though, she encountered faith in Jesus. She encountered Jesus Himself. And in her family, as a I think she was a junior, what we would call a junior in high school. She converted and she became a disciple of Jesus Christ. She was immediately rejected by her parents. Can you imagine being in your second year of high school and not being fed anymore by provision from your parents? Your parents won't even talk to you, won't even acknowledge you when you come in the house. They're allowing you to still stay in their house, which is a miracle in and of itself. They didn't just kick her out onto the street. But they're still hoping that she'll convert back. So they reject her in every other facet. Even as she would enter the house, if they were in the same room that she was in, they would leave the room while she was there. Can you imagine living with that every day? Having them challenge your faith when they did encounter you. How can you believe in this Jesus? Can't you see that your life is not better right now? Can't you see that we're not providing for you right now? Yet in her new faith, she believed. She believed God would provide. She found some jobs she could do, and the meals she needed came. People would actually give her food and tell her, "I was told by God that you need to have this." They would just come up randomly providing for her. Then she went off to university and she had scholarships to become an educator. She became an educator and she continued to ask God, "What do you want for me in this journey?" And in that, she got a degree in education. She began serving in a school, talking about Jesus, sharing about Jesus. The whole time, God just keeps providing for her every need, because teachers in Uganda aren't provided well for by the government. And He's providing this life for her that she knows she would not have had otherwise. But beyond that is the peace and the strength to face her family at every occasion. They're trying to force her to deny her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She comes into contact with a professor from LIU. She gets invited to come to LIU. She's always wanted to study media design. She wanted to teach media, but she didn't have the means to pay for it. So she comes in faith. She packs up her bag, her one bag of belongings, because her family still rejected giving her anything to assist her with life. Everything she owned, she could fit in a single bag, a single suitcase. She got on a bus. Somebody provided the ticket for her. She went to Livingstone. She arrived on campus. She found it to be a family. She found it to be a peaceful place. She was offered love. She was offered the gospel in a deeper way, a more profound way. She was offered to become a stronger disciple, to grow in her faith, to stretch, to begin to believe even more. From that, she got scholarships. She never knew how she was going to pay for college. She just came, traveled across the country of Uganda, and showed up knowing and believing that God would provide. And God did provide. Paid for her education. She became a disciple that became a disciple maker. She was then trained how to share her faith, how to grow others in their faith, how to help them to believe, all the while discovering that God Almighty is Jehovah Jireh, God who provides, and learning what that meant to really walk with Him and believe in Him. She was telling me her story just a few weeks ago as I sat with her, and we're both just crying as she shares how all the rejection, all the pain, the ways that her parents would try to beat her faith in Jesus out of her, physically beat her for her faith. Those scars that are on her back even this day, that she suffered for Jesus and for her faith in God, that He would provide for her, is now coming around full circle. She's now a university professor, discipling other people to Jesus. In that, her mom has now become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And her dad, just last holiday, they were going to a mountainous part of Uganda, and he invited her. Rema, I want you to come with us. So at first she said no, she wasn't going to come. But she had been praying and she had been also convicted by other believers that she had not forgiven her father. So she went forward at church and she just released all that, the beatings and the rejection. She released it to God and she forgave her father publicly. The next day he asked her again, will you please come with us to this family reunion? He said, I even bought you a coat. And she thought that was really odd because he had not bought anything for her for years. Bought her that coat. They went to the family reunion. He's introducing her to all these aunts and uncles that she had never known. And he's introducing her as my lucky daughter. This girl gets everything. She's so lucky. What's he really saying? She's so blessed. God shined on her. And even now, Rahama prays in belief that her father as well will understand who Jesus is, will discover Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. What are we facing right now where we're sitting here in church today on this Sunday, November the 26th? You know, maybe you're sitting there hoping the Saints will win. I don't know. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I'm struggling to believe. What are we putting our faith in? Everybody believes something, right? Everybody puts their faith in something. Put our faith in our own abilities. I used to do that as an Olympic hopeful runner. Yesterday, I tried to believe I was going to hit a good golf shot, and I occasionally did. What do we put our faith in? Do we put our faith in other drivers as we drive or try to cross the street? We're believing all the time. We're choosing to believe day and night. Do we really believe as Jesus was inviting us to? When he said in Matthew 6, don't worry what you'll eat or what you'll drink, what you'll wear. But instead, seek first the kingdom and my righteousness, God's righteousness. And all these other things, they're going to be taken care of. Is that where we show our belief in what we give to? Do we spend our money? Do we spend our lives on the pleasure of the world? On the things we wear, the things we eat, the things we drink? Yes, last night, I confess, I ate at Pip's, and it was delicious. And I spent way more money on a meal than I should have. Was I worried about it, though? Not really. Or Rips, sorry, not Pips, but Rips. I wasn't worried about that. I knew that what I enjoyed there was a gift from God. He had provided that. And I was able to celebrate it with Him, that great meal. But you know, we're facing trials. We're facing challenges. God's calling us to stretch. He's calling us to grow. Will I find faith in your life when I return? Will I find belief that's grown and even exploded and transferred to others as well? What's God calling you to believe in? What's he calling you to believe to? That He's going to take care of that situation or that difficulty. What's He saying? Just believe. Don't be afraid in your life right now. Do you believe He will provide? Maybe you're facing a monstrous debt right now. Maybe you're facing shortfalls in your finances. Do you believe God will provide? Maybe you're facing habitual sin that you've suffered with for so many decades now that you're just ready to give up. Will He rescue you from that? Will He deliver you? Will He bless you? Will He not curse you? as he says in Jeremiah 29? Do you believe? He invites us all today to answer that, to believe, to come to him. All us who are weary and heavy laden, burdened by the world, and he'll give us rest. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We'll have rest for our souls. So we invite you to come this morning. For Jehovah is Jehovah Jireh. Don't be afraid. Just believe.